We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena of Prithu Maharaj. This morning, sloka number 12. Vinashya lingashya guna pravaho Dravya kriya kakara chetan atmana Dristasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navikriyante mai bada sorida Translation. Lord Vishnu told King Prithu, My dear king, the constant change of this material world is due to the interaction of the three modes of material nature. The five elements, the senses, the demigods who control the senses, as well as the mind, which is agitated by the spirit soul. All these taken together comprise the body. Since the spirit soul is completely different from this combination of gross and subtle material elements, my devotee, who is connected with me in intense friendship and affection, being completely in knowledge, is never agitated by material happiness and distress. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The question may be raised that if the living entity has to act as the superintendent of the activities of the bodily combination, then how can he be indifferent to the activities of the body? The answer is given here. These activities are completely different from the activities of the spirit soul of the living entity. A crude example can be given in this connection. A businessman riding in a motor car sits in the car, supervises its running, and advises the driver. He knows how much gasoline is used up, and he knows everything about the car. But still, he is apart from the car and is more concerned with his business. Even while riding in the car, he thinks of his business and his office. He has no connection with the car, although he is sitting there. As a businessman is always absorbed in thoughts of his business, so the living entity can be absorbed in thoughts of rendering loving service to the Lord. Then it will be possible to remain separate from the activities of the material body. This position of neutrality can be possible only for a devotee. The word bada sorida, meaning bound in friendship, is particularly used here. Karmis, jnanis, and yogis cannot be bound in devotional service. Karmis fully engage in the activities of the body. Their aim of life is to give comfort to the body only. Jnanis try to get out of the entanglement by philosophical speculation, but they have no standing in the liberated position, because they do not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, they fall down from the exalted position of Brahman realization. Yogis also have a bodily concept of life. They think that they can achieve something spiritual by exercising the body through dharana, asana, pranayama, etc. A devotee's position is always transcendental because of his intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, to remain always aloof from the actions and reactions of the body and engage in one's real occupation, namely rendering service to the Lord, can be possible only for devotees. Please repeat. Lord Vishnu told King Prithu, "My dear King, the constant change of this material world is due to the interaction of the three modes of material nature, the five elements, the senses, the demigods who control the senses, as well as the mind, which is agitated by the spirit soul. All these taken together comprise a body. Since the spirit soul is completely different from this combination of gross and subtle material elements, my devotee who is connected with me in intense friendship and affection, being completely in knowledge, is never agitated by material happiness and distress. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Maharaj Parikshit, King Prithu is being instructed here by Lord Vishnu, because King Prithu was very attached to performing his sacrifice. And Indra was very worried that if Maharaj Prithu does his sacrifice, then Maharaj Prithu may become Indra. He may take my position away. So Indra was giving him a lot of trouble. So Lord Vishnu came to settle things and asked Maharaj Prithu to forgive him. And we are hearing how Lord Vishnu is also instructing Maharaj Prithu not to be concerned about the happiness and distress of the material body. That you have to become detached from these things. The pains and pleasures of the material body are insignificant. They're temporary. They come and go. We were explaining yesterday how it is like the winter and summer seasons. This pain and pleasure of the material world, we have to become indifferent to all of these things. We will... Srila Prabhupada explains in two sections in the purport. First of all, he's talking about this position of neutrality for the devotee. You know, Prahlad Maharaj was also speaking about this a lot to his father, Hiranyakashipu, that he didn't like his father to make distinction between friend and enemy. For a devotee, we do not see any difference between one person and another. Somebody may deal with us in ways which are not very nice, and the person may even think that we are his enemy. But we will not reciprocate and think that he is my enemy. No, a devotee has no enemy. We have to remember the qualities of a sadhu. Lord Kapila instructed his mother in the ornaments of a sadhu, sadhu bhushanam. You know, just like ladies put ornaments on themselves when they dress up, When they go for a marriage or something, they will have ornaments. So there are ornaments of a sadhu. These are special qualities which a sadhu has to exhibit. And all of us are devotees, we should also try to develop these qualities. You may say, I'm not a sadhu, but actually we can be sadhu internally. Externally, you may be living in the material world and you have many responsibilities and you have a job and you have a family and so on. But internally, we should have the nature of the sadhu. We should develop the attachment for the Lord and His service. So Lord Kapila describes these ornaments, titikshava, tolerance. Devotee has to be very tolerant. Yeah, how tolerant? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, like the tree, more tolerant than the tree. And the tree's out there, the heat, or the wind, or rain, whatever the weather is, the tree will tolerate. Even people will come, cut the branches, the tree will tolerate. And still it will give shelter, it will try to produce fruit and flowers. That is the nature of the tree. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said we should all become tolerant like the tree. Devotee must be tolerant. Someone says, I can't tolerate. Why is that? That means you're in the bodily conception of life. We can tolerate if we take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj has said that every devotee should take that instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and string it on a thread and wear it round our neck for constant remembrance. Very important for us. We must tolerate. If we cannot tolerate little things, little disturbances in everyday life, then how will we ever tolerate the end of life when we have to give up this body? So we have to prepare ourselves. We have to detach ourselves from this material world, the disturbances of life. Yeah, there are disturbances, but we can tolerate by taking shelter of Krishna. Just like when you cross an ocean, if you go, you know, anybody who goes to sea, maybe a sailor or something, and they go on the ship and they cross the ocean. So in crossing the ocean, sometimes there will be a storm, there'll be big waves. Even though the ship is very big, the waves are even bigger and more powerful, and they can lift the huge ship up and smash it down. A person who's in the boat, he may think, let me get off the boat. But if you get off the boat, then you have no chance. To cross the ocean, you have to just stay in the boat, and the boat will gradually come through the storm. So in the same way, we're trying to cross the ocean of material existence. And we're on the ship. The ship is this human form of life. We have this human form of life, which is a suitable vehicle for crossing this ocean. We have a captain of the ship in the form of the spiritual teachers and great acharyas who give us spiritual instruction. And we have a favorable breeze in the form of the scriptures, which guide us. So we just simply have to stay in the boat and cross this ocean of material existence. Tolerance is required. And tatikshava karunika, mercy also. A devotee should be kind to all living entities. Devotee is naturally thinking of the welfare of others. He is para dukkha dukkhi. He is unhappy to see other people suffering. Materialistic people, when they see other people suffering, they feel pleasure. And when they suffer, then they feel pain. But a devotee is pained to see other people suffering. And his own difficulties and his own distress in life, he accepts it as the mercy of Krishna. Lord, there's a saying among the Buddhists that Lord Buddha had said that anyone who has not had experienced distress or pains in life, then he has never been blessed. Yeah, the real blessing of life is pains and difficulties and troubles in our life. Because these things will purify us. They will help us to take shelter of the Lord. The more we're in difficulty, the more we will approach Lord Krishna with feeling. We have the nice example of Queen Kunti, who prays to Lord Krishna, Vipada Shantuta Shasvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Garo Bhavato Darshanam Yajshat Apunar Bhava Darshanam. She says to Lord Krishna, let all these difficulties happen again and again. Queen Kunti had suffered so much. You know, as a young woman, her husband had died and left her with all 5 children to bring up. And then throughout the time of bringing up the Pandavas, there were so many troubles, so many attempts to kill them and to drive them away. Their home was set on fire. Bhima was given poison, and then finally the battle of Kurukshetra. So many troubles, but Queen Kunti is saying, let all these troubles happen again and again. And why? Because by these troubles I'm able to take shelter of you, and remembering you means we will no longer see birth and death. So, you know, this is the glory of distress. Devotees should not run from troubles. You cannot run away from difficulties and problems in life. They are there for everyone. But if we simply take shelter of Krishna in the face of the difficulties, then that will save us. So Kapila goes on to say, Titikshava Karunika Suridam Sarvadehinam, that the sadhu is a friend of all living entities. Yeah, he's friendly towards all living entities. As a friend to all living entities, we think of their welfare and we think how to benefit them. We will try our best to distribute Krishna consciousness to them, to tell them about Krishna, to give them some prasadam, to give some book, just to let them see the dress of the sadhu, just by putting tilak on our forehead and wearing the kunti mala round our neck, the tosi beads round our neck. It is good for people to see these things, because then they're reminded of Lord Krishna and the path of devotion. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur hoped that in the future, even the high court judges would all be there with tilak on their foreheads. So we have more preaching to do to achieve that. So, Tatikshiva Karunikam Suridam Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shantru Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana. Ajata Sadhava. That his enemy is never born. Yeah, he has no enemy. Someone may be his enemy, but he does not think he is my enemy. He sees everyone equally. He's not thinking in terms of duality. In terms of duality, we make distinction, friend, enemy. Like that. That is the material conscious, bodily platform. So devotee has to overcome that bodily conception of life. We have to come to the transcendental platform with this stage of neutrality. And this does not mean that we become indifferent to the body. Prabhupada explains here in his example. He gives this nice example. The businessman is in his car, but he's going for business and he's certainly thinking about his business. But at the same time, he also knows a little bit about the car. He knows if he's put petrol in or not, right? He knows how much petrol he's put in. He knows if the car's running well or not, if he's put air in the tires or whatever. if the car needs washing or not. It's not totally neglectful. So in the same way, we live in this body, we have to make the best of a bad bargain. We have taken this material body. It's a bad bargain. Because we have this material body, we have to give it some attention. We have to make the best of the bad bargain. How to make the best of it? We want to utilize it in Krishna's service. But at the same time, we have to maintain it. We have to feed it. We have to clean it. If it gets some sickness, we have to look after it. But we don't simply devote our whole time, every minute of the day, to the body. There's more than just the body. Yeah, we have to think of the higher purpose of life. The goal of life is not just simply to decorate the body. We may keep the body clean and healthy, but we have to also understand there's more to life than simply taking care of the body. We have to remember Lord Sri Krishna, and we have to think of His teachings. So this is the idea, that the message of Lord Krishna and His instructions, this should be more prominent in our life. So then the second half of the purport is concerning this Badha Sorida, bound in friendship. This idea of being bound in friendship. And Prabhupada says this relationship between the Lord and His devotee, this is only possible for one who is doing bhakti yoga. The karmi, the jnani, and the yogi, they cannot be bound in friendship by the Lord because they have material desires. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes bhukti, mukti, siddhi kami, sakale ashanta. Krishna bhakti nishkam sa isha shanta. That there are different kinds of people endeavoring for different things. Some people want bhukti, material enjoyment. And others want mukti, liberation. Some people want siddhis, yogic perfection. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami. Some people just simply have lusty desires. And all of these people are not peaceful. Because they want something material. Even they want liberation. That's also material. They have some kind of desire for something. But Krishna bhakti niskam sa isha shanta. The devotee of Krishna has no material desire. Therefore, he is peaceful. A devotee of Krishna has no material desire. He has spiritual desire. It's simply devotional service. That is the only wish of a devotee. Devotee does not pray for liberation. Devotee just simply wants devotional service, birth after birth. That is the only wish of the devotee. Please engage me in your service. Devotee of Krishna has no fear of going even to hell, because hell will become heaven when Krishna is there. The devotee will take Krishna in his heart, and even if he goes to hell, that hell will become like heaven. But if he goes to heaven without Krishna, that will become hell. So devotee of Krishna does not make distinction. He will go anywhere, provided there is devotional service. Narayana para sarve nakutaschanya vibhyate swarga apavarga narakesh vapitu yata darshana. The devotees of Lord Narayan are described like this, that they see everywhere equally. Swarga, apavarga, narakesh, vapitu yata darshana. They see no difference between heaven and hell and liberation. They see everywhere the same. Because wherever they go, they will simply perform devotional service. In Srimad Bhagavatam, example is there, how Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed by Parvati to become a demon. And he took his birth as Vritrasura. So as Vritrasura, he got that huge demonic body. But he still had his bhakti. He still had his devotion for the Lord. That could not be taken from him, even with the curse. So, this is devotee, that in any situation of life, he's able to remember the Lord and engage in the Lord's service. Even in these demonic bodies, even in some hellish situation. So devotee is peaceful in any situation of life. But the karmi, the jnani, the yogi, they're not peaceful. They're never happy. A karmi has so many material desires, one after another after another. In Bhagavad Gita, we are told the nature of lust, that it burns like fire and is never satisfied. It is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. It covers our real knowledge. So lust is the greatest enemy. But the karmi, he's full of lust. He's just simply thinking, enjoy. Where is money? Where is pleasure? How to gratify the senses? And for the purpose of material enjoyment, they will do anything, go anywhere. But they're never satisfied. There's no end to material desires. On the other hand, there is a jnani. The jnani, he wants to negate material desire. And he's looking, his goal is Sayujya Mukti, impersonal liberation, to enter into the Brahman, oneness with the Brahman. But that is also not an eternal situation. The jnani may achieve Sayujya Mukti and enter into Brahman, but he cannot remain there because his soul is not satisfied. Because in the Brahman, there is no activity. Yanyera vindakshya vamuktamaninas twayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhaya arora krichrena parampatam tada patanti addo nadreta yasmad angraya. This verse is describing how the jnani is entering into the impersonal liberation, but he's still a buddhaya. His intelligence is not perfectly clear because he's thinking that the goal of life is to become one with the Supreme. He has not understood his actual nature as a spiritual being. And the nature of the soul is to have activities. We need some activity. Just like if a man has no job, if he has no work, then he feels he feels agitated, he feels disturbed that I have no job, I'm not work, I can't find work. He feels some agitation, disturbance. For some time he may like it, but then after a while because the nature of the soul is that we like activity, we have to be active. And if we simply enter into the Brahman, into this Sayujya Mukti, the oneness with the Lord, then the soul is not satisfied. Because there's no activity there. And therefore, the jnanis fall back into the material world. They come back into the material world again. Arora krichrena patam patam tada. They fall back into the material. They have to fall down. Because their intelligence is not actually fully purified. Their liberation is only theoretical. It's not actual liberation. So they come back into the material world, have to take up again some other activities. And then the yogis, they want yoga siddhis, they want to enjoy the material world, to have different perfections, anima, lagima, like this, to become lighter than the lightest or heavier than the heaviest, to go against, to be able to conquer the different laws of nature, to produce things from far away. But the yogis, also are not satisfied in these different endeavors. They're trying to gratify their mind and senses by these yoga powers, but it does not satisfy the soul. They're trying to compete with God. Actually, all of these different yoga perfections have already been achieved by science and technology. That you can do all the things the yogis do just simply by technology nowadays. So there is no great gain from the yoga powers. Prabhupada explains how some yogis also, they will take to physical exercises like asana and pranayama, and then the meditation of dharana. So these kind of activities simply increase the bodily concept of life. You just become more attached to the body and try to keep the body healthy. You do asanas and pranayama, okay, you can have the long life. But what is the value of the long life? The tree also lives a long time. Is it a great thing to have a life like a tree? Prabhupada says, better a moment of full consciousness than a lifetime like a tree. Sripad Shankaracharya was in this world for only 32 years. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in this world only 48 years. But they made a great contribution to the world. So if we're just simply thinking of a long life, that is just the bodily concept of life. But you cannot be freed from the pains of birth and death. We have taken birth, you have to die. So the yoga can prolong your life, but it cannot save you from birth and death. But if you become the devotee, if you develop love for Krishna, then that can save us from the wheel of birth and death. That can take us out of this wheel of birth and death. It can take us to a real position in the spiritual world. We can enjoy the eternal relationship with the Lord in His supreme abode. Of course, the devotee is not anxious for that, but he is anxious simply for the Lord's service. And he just simply prays, please engage me in your service. So in that consciousness, a devotee will accept whatever pains and pleasures come in life. A devotee will simply continue. He will simply go on with his devotional service. So in this way, Maharaj Prithu is being instructed by Lord Vishnu that he should not become agitated by material happiness or distress. This is important. We should remain equipoised, control the mind. When distress is there, a devotee should think that I am such a rascal, I deserve to suffer much more. But Krishna has just given me a little bit. But actually, I'm such a bad person, I should suffer much more. My suffering is reduced. And when we're happy and enjoying life, then we should think that Krishna is just encouraging me. Actually, I don't deserve such a nice situation in life. But the Lord is just encouraging me to do well. Therefore, He is giving me some pleasure in life. So like this, a devotee should see everything as the plan of Krishna. Krishna's the supreme controller. And He's arranging for all of us the happiness and distress. Because we're devotees, a devotee is not under the law of karma. Devotee is transcendental. His karma's already finished. He's taken up devotional service. He's chanting the holy name of Krishna. He's transcendental. The karma's finished. But Krishna arranges happiness and distress for our purification, to bring us back to Him, to take shelter at His lotus feet. So we will stop and ask if there's any question, any comment. Yes? Okay.
Maharaj, how can we tolerate this material world? Because, especially because of mind, we'll get a lot of problems.
Because what?
Mind, thoughts.
The mind.
Yes.
Thoughts. Yes. Different thoughts coming in the mind. So, how do we conquer the mind? We conquer the mind just like, you know, the Roman gladiators, they had to conquer a lion. So we have to conquer the mind. How to conquer the mind? In japa, by chanting the holy name, you can conquer the mind. Loud chanting of the holy name, that will help you to conquer the mind. That is the only way to conquer the mind. The mind is such a rascal, it will give us so much trouble, but it will become subdued by the chanting of the holy name. If we call out the holy name of the Lord, then certainly your mind will also be delivered. So this is the best process for controlling the mind. We can say intelligence is higher than the mind. Intelligence directs the mind. So cultivate good intelligence. And how do we get intelligence? Intelligence comes from the soul. Intelligence is seated next to the soul. So from the soul, Paramatma is there. Krishna says, from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivisto matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I am in the hearts of every living entity. From me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So if we want to remember Krishna, Krishna will help us. But if we want to forget Him, Krishna can also allow. If we really want that knowledge, Krishna is willing to give us. We have to desire. So we have to desire to control the mind. The mind, function of the mind is this desire. So simply desire to get some relief from the mind. Develop that desire, then Krishna will give remembrance what to do. And what you have to do is loud chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The more you chant, the more the mind will become obedient. Training the mind is just like training a wild animal, like a lion, you know. How do they train a lion when they capture the lion? They'll put it in the cage and they'll starve it. They won't give it any food for many days. And then after starving it for many days, then they'll go with a whip and they'll beat it. So the lion has been through a lot. There's been no food, hasn't been fed for many days, very hungry, and then he's received a good lashing, a beating, and then they feed it. So then the lion becomes obedient because he knows this person, he beat me, he didn't give me any food, now he's giving me food. I have to do what he says. So the man, you know, he's got the whip and he tells the lion, go this way, go that, you know. And the lion will jump and do different tricks. So the mind is just like a wild animal. You have to beat it. You have to starve it. And then you have to feed it. Yeah. How do you starve the mind? How do you beat the mind? You starve the mind. You do not give in to all the demands for sense gratification. You starve the mind. You do not give in when the mind demands, I want this, let's go here, let's do that. You say no. For so long I've been serving my mind. Now I'm going to starve my mind. I'm not going to give in to all the demands of my mind. And then how do you beat it? You start to chant Hare Krishna. And the mind goes, oh no, not that again. Oh no, we're not going to chant. Oh no. The mind will say, come on, don't do this. Oh, don't waste your time. This is not helping you. The mind will say so many things. No, you have to beat the mind. by chanting. And then you feed the mind, you give it more Krishna consciousness, you make it hear scriptures like this. And this way the mind will gradually become obedient. Now, just remember how devious a person the mind is, so tricky. Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares the mind. The mind is like a thief who runs away from a crime, shouting, "Stop, thief! There goes the thief! There goes the thief!" He is the thief, but he's trying to put the attention onto others. Yeah, there was this man, he'd go everywhere and he would steal things, and then he'd run and shout, "There goes the thief! There goes the thief!" And people would be, and that way people would not think it was him. But he was the actual thief. He was trying to, let people think somebody else was the thief. So our mind is like that. It's such a tricky thing. It's such a devious personality, our mind. You cannot listen to the mind. Don't listen to the mind. Don't take any direction from the mind. Yeah? So conquer over the mind. Neglect the mind in the beginning. That is required. You have to neglect the mind. Listen to the higher intelligence. Higher intelligence. We have to understand properly what we have to do. Don't put yourself on the platform of the mind. On the platform of the mind, we're thinking, "I am this body." And we're thinking about all the pains and pleasures of this body. And this is illusion. This is all the illusion. So we have to rise above the mind. Krishna is always telling in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that you have to rise above the mind. Be transcendental to this material nature. So first of all, you have to desire and then understand the nature of the mind. Don't give in. Don't submit yourself to this mind. If you do, then you will never be happy. What is the nature of the mind? Simply desire, hankering and lamenting. Icha and dvesha. What we want to get things and what we want to get rid of. Accepting and rejecting. That is the nature of the mind. So we have to transcend this. You have to come to the higher platform. Platform of proper intelligence. Pure intelligence. Understand yourself as a spirit soul. Servant of Krishna. So you have to do a lot of chanting. Neglect this mind. Make that mind into a submissive servant. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, how to overcome from bad habits? After chanting also, that bad habit is giving so much trouble. Can you end it?
Yeah. Bad habits, well, you need good association. In good association, then your bad habits will be conquered over. Bad habits are often something which we do. You cultivate your bad habits in bad association. With bad association, if you associate with drunkards, then you will also take up that habit. But if you associate with the devotees, then you can develop the habits of the devotee. Bad habits, we have to discipline the mind and senses. The spiritual training will help us. The more we can keep ourselves engaged in activities, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. If we don't fill our mind with Krishna consciousness, then so many bad things will enter. So we have to keep ourselves fully occupied in the service of Krishna. So that takes a little intelligence to plan out your day, your activities, You don't want to be idle. You want to keep yourself always engaged, always have something to do, that you have some book you're reading, you have some chanting to do, you have verses to memorize, you have different services which you're supposed to perform. We must always keep ourselves active in Krishna's service. We have to always be moving forward. Devotional service is described to be like an arrow. The arrow has to be going forward. If it is not going forward, it will simply go down. So in the same way with devotional service, if we are not going forward, then we simply go down. So we have to always be trying to improve and increase our devotional service. We want to learn more things, and to improve our different abilities, whatever services we may be doing, we would like to do them better, and we try to improve them and the quality of them. And in this way, we can become freed from tendency towards bad habits. The more we cultivate good habits, then the bad habits will be forgotten.
Actually, Krishna is known by many names, several names. Some names are such that which competes with Krishna's name, such as Narayana. Narayana is the supreme controller, it is like that. And Narayani. And there are some words, some names just like Jagdishwara. It is also known as Jagadishwari. Then how to focus our mind? Supreme Personality of Godhead.
There are different names of the Lord. Some names are primary names and some names are secondary names. You see? The primary names are names of the Lord in relationship with His devotees. For example, Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandan, Devaki Nandan, like that. These are primary names of the Lord. Partha Sarathi. You know, these are primary names of the Lord. But secondary names of the Lord are names like Paramatma, Brahman, like that, you see. As devotees, we want to cultivate the primary names. We're more interested in the primary names. Jagadishwar, that is like secondary name. That is not such an important name of the Lord. Although it's also describing the Lord, but it can describe the Lord, different Lords. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story is there of Atrimuni. Atrimuni wanted to have the Lord as his child. So, after he did some austerity and penance and course of time, he and his wife had not one child, but three children. And he was surprised that how is it we have three children? We wanted the Lord as our child. And he said, which one of you is the Lord? And they said, we're all the Lord. And the three of them, the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva came in the form of three sons for Atrimuni and his wife Anasuya. Because they were not actually clear who is the Lord. You see, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should understand clearly who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then we can understand the scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam describes iti chamsa kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna has his different names in relationship to his devotees. And if we chant these names, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's written nice songs like Yashomati Nandana. This morning I was singing Vibhavari Shesha. It's all made up of many names of the Lord. And the more we sing the names of the Lord, then the more we remember the Lord from his name. Because the name of the Lord includes also the form of the Lord and the qualities of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord. That when we chant the name purely, then the guna, the rupa, and the lila, they will also be manifest because they are all contained within the name of the Lord. So chanting of the name of the Lord is the most important, because that contains everything. You have everything within the holy name. So we chant the holy name. We chant the name of Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It said 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Ram, right? And three names of Ram is equal to Krishna's name. So the name of Krishna is the supreme name. You chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, the Maha Mantra, and in this way we can know the personality of Godhead. He's revealed through his holy name.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, is it possible really for a human being to totally control the desire, thought of desire coming into the mind? Or is it only necessary for us to just, you know, even though we get the desire, we just direct it in a different way? Say, for example, towards devotional service. What I mean to ask is it really possible for us to stop getting the desires? And is it necessary?
Well, certainly it's possible, and it's necessary also. You know, we want to come to that level. That the more we fill our mind with desire, we don't want to just stop desire, we want to purify desire. That is the point. We have to purify the desire. And when we desire simply for Lord Krishna and for Lord Krishna's service, then there's no time for any other desire to come in the mind. The more we keep our mind always desiring for Krishna and Krishna's service, no other thought can come in the mind. So that is, yes, that is possible and that is necessary. Yeah, we want to come to that stage. That is the goal, to purify the mind. Cheto darpana marjanam, right? Cleanse the mind of all that contamination so that we can awaken our pure Krishna consciousness and then no more material desires. Maharaji had a question, yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, like as Prabhu was asking about the bad habits, like how to give up and all, and similar to that, one question I have, like among relatives, like we have our relatives and all, and like they are hardcore people, like they don't want to accept God, and even then we have to associate with such kind of people. So do we really have to associate because they are relatives? So do we need to really associate, or we should give up completely, or we should ignore such kind of people? How to cope such kind of situations when it comes to a hardcore relatives?
Well, you can accept, one thing you could do is just simply see this as your karma, that Lord Krishna has put you into this situation. You know that your relatives are not devotees, and we can just see this as, you know, Krishna's plan for us somehow, that we have this karma, that we're in this situation, and we accept this and go, and at the same time go on with your devotional service in a manner which does not disturb the situation in your home. You know, you have to deal with them in such a way that they do not become more inimical towards Krishna. You know? The more they can appreciate you and like you, and the more they will like the things you do. So if you can keep nice relationships with them. At the same time, you don't want to compromise on your duty as a devotee. For example, you don't want to start eating non-vegetarian foodstuffs just to please them. You know, you have to keep your principles as a devotee, and at the same time deal with them in a manner in which they are also satisfied. Because you're a woman, you know, it's not so easy for you to just go away from home.
Yeah. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you said that a devotee doesn't have a desire for material, Brahman liberation or doesn't hanker like a karmi. So, but what if one, because of past tendency, the speculative tendency is interfering? Is there too much in the mind, or the impersonal feelings are there towards Krishna sometimes and his devotees? And so how to get out of it?
Impersonal
feelings? Impersonal feelings towards Krishna and his devotees also do come sometimes. So how to get out of it?
Yes, sometimes, although we're devotees, sometimes we deal with each other in impersonal ways. And even we may have an impersonal feelings towards Krishna. So, how to deal with that? We have to understand what is happening. We have to understand that this is not good. We have to work against these things. You have to be on guard. You have to see the dangers. If you see that there's some impersonalism is developing in you towards Krishna or towards the devotees, you have to work against that tendency. You have to remember that Krishna is a person, and that we're persons, and devotees are all, and we should have personal relationships with them. So it's important for us to cultivate personal relationships with other devotees, not to isolate ourselves. That would be a type of impersonalism developing. The tendency is there to want, you know, that we isolate ourselves, cut ourselves off away from devotees. So we want to keep personal relationships with devotees, even though you may not feel comfortable. But if we tolerate, then it's better to be with the devotees than away from them. We shouldn't become impersonalists. We should not isolate ourselves. We have to remember Krishna also as a person. We can understand that by serving him. If we do some service for the deities, you can polish the brass, you can make garlands for the deities, you can take pleasure in just looking at the deities every day and studying how the deities are decorated. You can make different arrangements for the pleasure of the deity, remembering him, that he is a person. The deities are here just simply to remind us that he is a person and that we are his servant. So impersonalism is certainly something we want to be on guard against. We want to not isolate, not don't cut ourselves off from the society, stay apart, stay involved, always be part of Prabhupada's family. We've seen sometimes devotees, they fall into this trap, they become isolated, they stop associating with devotees, and then they go back into the material world, or they go even worse. Sometimes people may even suicide or something. They think life has no meaning. Some people go off to leave one place and go to another camp or something because they're isolated. So we need to always have association, meet with people. There needs to be istagosti. Different groups of devotees should get together and discuss topics of Krishna, and in this way keep associating. And this way we can help to guard against impersonalism. Okay? So we will stop now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.